Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. If you've ever found yourself captivated by a robin searching for worms in the grass, or paused to listen to the morning chorus of birds, you might have experienced the quiet magic of birdwatching. For many, birding is more than just a chance to spot a feathered friend. It's a way to slow down, reduce stress, and reconnect with the natural world. Next week, the Delaware Ornithological Society is hosting The Birding Prescription, a talk about birding's impact on our health and well-being. And in this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny is joined by the Society's president, Joe Francis, to learn more about the benefits of mindful birding.
Let's start with just sort of a overview of what this upcoming talk is going to be about.
The talk is going to be a conversation between myself and, you know, through my perspectives as a physician that's done public health as well as internal medicine and geriatrics, and my clinical observations on exposure to nature, and Holly Merker, who is an amazing individual who was a lifelong birder, an expert birder who leads tours all over the country and is a certified art therapist who herself went through a period of poor health and found a lot of solace in birding and leveraged that to create something that she calls ornitherapy, which is using essentially experiences in nature, observing birds, as a way to promote mindfulness, to reduce stress, increase resilience and health. And the remarkable thing is, you know, we came to this from two very different perspectives, but the science is very compelling. And the last few years, there's been a lot of research on the importance of exposure to nature and time outdoors. If I can use the term awe, which may not be the easiest to define, but the whole concept that, you know, there are things happening in nature, in the universe, that are bigger than ourselves. And that's a way to sort of take us out of our everyday worries that cause stress and lead to poor health.
Well, let me ask about some of the ways that birding can help contribute to better mental health.
Absolutely. So, you know, the science is still evolving, but what I would say is that the impacts are partly on the biology. So we know that, you know, exposure to sunlight, to fresh air, you know, moderate exercise, which is the kind of exercise you get walking around in the woods or wherever you may be birding, those all promote health and well-being. We know from studies that have been done with volunteers that exposure to nature and time spending, birding or looking at other aspects of nature, reduce biomarkers of stress, like cortisol and inflammatory biomarkers. So there's some real physical effects happening here. And a lot of the ways we like to see folks consider bird watching is a form of a mindfulness activity. And so all the things that you do associate with mindfulness-based therapies, concentration, breathing, balance, motion, avoidance of distractions, we think those things can come into play in birding and, in fact, are very effective for being a successful birder. You know, it doesn't have to be an exotic species. Watching crows or blue jays and in the city, watching pigeons, not only can tell you something about how nature works, it gets you outside of yourself, and that whole process of mindfulness calms you down.
You know, one thing that stands out to me is that it seems very, very common sense. If you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling stress, spend some time outside, spend some time doing these mindful things. But this is also backed up by serious research, right?
Absolutely. And it's complicated research to do. You know, it's easier to study a pill, you know, because you can randomize. Some people get a pill, some people get a control, like a placebo. This is harder to do the science in because, you know, there isn't the standard dose of nature. We all experience it differently. you know, there are many other things that are going on and influencing our lives. But again, it's sort of when you triangulate across all the sources of evidence, it's pointing out something which I'll say quite honestly, we've known for a long time. There's also some interesting research in the sphere of awe. And a woman whose book I just finished reading named Keltner, who talked about, you know, if you took healthy older people and you had them go out on, she calls these awe walks, but they were basically walks in nature. And the whole idea was you turn off your smartphone with one exception. You can take pictures of what you're seeing. And you just pay attention to what's around you. And what she found was that stress levels went down. But more importantly, people felt better about each other. And I feel like in the times we're living through today, particularly our experiences of the last 2 weeks, you know, we need activities that can reduce polarization. Beautiful thing about birding, you know, I got into birding because my father was a farmer, lived downstate. He was a hunter. Long before I became a birder, we spent lots of time outdoors and with many different types of people across the spectrum. But we could all agree on things that we loved, like nature, the outdoors. You know, those things were really important, and it created a bridging. And we need things like that more and more today.
Birding can also be pretty beneficial for the birds as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You need to know something before you love it. You need to love something before you decide to save it. And I think that awareness, Holly talks about this in terms of reciprocity. You know, you're getting something back from the birds. You want to give back to them in ways that might be very simple. You know, my own life, you know, I've reduced my footprint. Long ago, I lived in a 4,000 square foot home in another state. And I was like, Lordy, what do I need that for? I live in a 1,300 square foot apartment, but the beauty of it is that I'm right outside of State Park. So I can walk outdoors and I'm immediately in nature. And I have more time to do it because I don't have to cut the grass or blow the leaves.
One thing that's really appealing about birding compared to a lot of other pastimes is it strikes me there are really no barriers to entry. There's no real cost to get started. It's something that you can do anywhere. How can people who are interested in starting this get started?
You're very right about the low bar to entry. You don't even need optical equipment. Just going outdoors, using your eyes and your ears, there's a lot that you can take in without specialized equipment. I tell people these days we're living in the golden age of optics because you can get, you know, starter pairs of binoculars, for instance, for under $100. And recently we purchased in DOS a bunch of these binoculars for children because we're trying to get children started. And it's the whole idea is just get people outdoors and allow the natural connections and fascination with the outdoors to take place. I suggest spend some time with other people that are experienced. Birding has a lot of skills underneath it. And I mean, I'm still learning how to be a better birder. And there are lots of field trips that are available. The DOS website, all of our field trips, all of our meetings are open to the entire public. The Sussex Bird Club similarly does a lot of great stuff, had field trips and the Hawk Watch at Cape Henlopen that allows me to segue all of our state parks. If you go to the website, you can actually search under bird watching and you'll find that virtually every state park now hosts a bird walk, often once a month. And it's usually a volunteer from DOS or the Sussex Bird Club or other groups. Basically, you can find a bird walk happening within the next few weeks, wherever you live, with whatever county in Delaware.
Finally, I was reading an article by Holly Merker, your speaker, and she said something that really sticks with me. I've been sort of reflecting on it as I'm getting ready for this interview. Birds are there for us when we need them. And I was wondering if you could just, to wrap up, reflect on that in your experience as a birder.
Well, this gets very personal, but, you know, like everyone, you know, we have down times in our life. And there were some stressful periods in my own life where there was great solace to be had in going outdoors. And I took a new job back in the early 90s. There were many challenges. And I just felt like after a few weeks, overwhelmed by the challenges. And at the end of the day, it was like, I can't continue doing this. I literally just got in my car and I drove. And I had no idea where I was going to go. And just by chance, I ended up in an area in rural Arkansas. I was living in Tennessee at the time, near a wildlife refuge, a state wildlife refuge. Just decided to find a hotel. And I spent the next day birding the refuge. And it was like someone did a power wash on my brain. All the things, the ruminative thoughts, the self-doubt, these cycles of worry was broken. And I came back again with this sort of, this mental washing completely refreshed me. The birds are there, and it doesn't matter what birds there are. We love times like migration when there's a great variety of birds. We love to chase after rare species. But even if those are not there, go to your local pond and stare at the ducks. You'll learn a lot.
Thanks to Delaware Ornithological Society President Joe Francis and R. Martin Matheny for enlightening us this week. The Delaware Ornithological Society's talk about birding's impact on our health and well-being, the birding prescription, is this Wednesday, November 20th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Ashland Nature Center in Hokesson.